Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to GWA Uncut. Yes, season 28 has begun. And man, has it begun? I don't even know where to start. I'm Hall of Famer Magic Ref Mark Green. It's great to be back on the air. It's great to be back for another season of GWA Action. And I'm going to go right to the phones right now because we have a very special guest standing by. Caller, you're live on Uncut. Who's this?
This is the most dominant superstar in GWA history. This is Doom Train.
Well, it's hard to argue with that, Doom Train, our defending GWA world champion. You know, shades of a few seasons ago, perhaps, when you went wall to wall and became the longest reigning champion in company history. You may be on your way to doing that again, of course. It's a long season, but you started off as strongly as anyone else. Let's talk about this, because we had the riot in the ring this past Sunday, and some are saying, Doom Train, I know you didn't participate in the riot, but some are saying it was the best riot match of all time. I mean, you had wrestlers come in, first of all, returns, Dawn Rose making her return, CJ Boucher. You had, oddly, Crimson Dragon appearing while Mike Leo was in the ring. What's that all about? I guess we'll talk more about that in a minute here. Johnny Three Tears making his return. You had a rookie in there in first class, Scotty Styles, and a newcomer named El Tigre de Verganza. I mean, you have situations where wrestlers would gang up on others. We've seen that before in the riot, but on more than one occasion, the one wrestler would overcome four or five guys at a time. I mean, for extended periods of time. It was really a sight to behold. In the end, it would be Brewer surviving the field and winning the riot in the ring for the second time in his career, the first time being season 19. So you're talking almost 10 seasons later, the guy does it. The first time he won it, though, was his first ever win, if you could believe that, in the GWA after going 0-4 his first year. And now, of course, he wins it as a Hall of Famer who might go down as the best of all time. And you can add that to his long list of accolades, two-time riot winner. What were your thoughts, Doom Train, watching this riot at home?
Obviously, I was watching back there, and it was interesting for a bit, but it would have been more spectacular if I would have entered. But I'm a little smarter than that. I wouldn't want to, you know, get in and get my hands dirty and then have a potential gang up with all those puny little punks trying to throw me over the rope.
That was the expectation, I guess, that you would be at home, but really you weren't. You were there backstage, and we would see you later in the night when you would level Brewer with the Train Wreck after he won, so certainly sending a message to the winner. But it sounds like you weren't truly impressed. Is that fair to say?
Not really. Brewer, you know, I gotta give credit where credit due. He's not right. He's not that wrestler. He won the riot twice. He's an 8-time world champion. It's all to argue. He knows what he's doing in that ring. But, see, I had one up on him. He turned it. He let his guard down for 1 second. Biggest mistake when you're trying to face me.
Well, what do you think about Brewer hitting Dylan Black with a low blow and then going on to eliminate him? I mean, there was a lot of hype between Brewer and Dylan Black last season. At one point, Dylan Black challenging Brewer to a last man standing match. We all wanted to see it at the awards ceremony. They had a stare down. We were looking forward to seeing them in the ring, and we finally got a glimpse of that last Sunday at the riot. And in my opinion, it was ruined by that low blow. I think Brewer really taking a cheap shot there and taking the easy way out, eliminating Dylan Black and then going on to eliminate Crimson Dragon, whoever that was, to win it. So what were your thoughts witnessing that low blow?
Do you expect anything less from Brewer? Brewer, throughout his whole career, has been an easy go out all the way through. If it's a bit hard, what does he do? Boom. Easy way out. He knew Dylan Black had some ambition to win. Dylan Black is showing he's hungry. He's showing heart. He had a little taste. Just a little taste of that title last season.
Right.
He wants it back. So now he's really hungry. And, you know, I don't blame the kid. I was there once, too.
But well, we're going to have to give Brewer a prop, down. Though. Before we go into more detail on Dylan Black here, I want to give Brewer props for surviving the riot, because at one point he was in there with the Brotherhood. I mean, you had Dylan Black in there, you had Johnny Bulldog in there, Mike Leo for a time. How does he survive the odds here? And it wasn't like he came in at the end. I mean, if you look at when Brewer entered this match, he was in the middle of the pack. So what was his number? He was six, so really right in the middle there. How does he do this? Is it politicking? I mean, if he spent a lot of this match either outside the ring or in the corner, and people, for some reason, weren't going after him. They were just kind of letting him slide, and sometimes literally slide out the ring. What is that about? And do you think the wrestlers in the riot underestimated Brewer? I mean, how could you take him lightly, of all people?
See, my point. Brewer didn't touch nobody for half that match. He sat there, and he sat there, and he sat there. Nobody touched him. So, my thing is, if you let a count, he deserves to be asked.
Break it up, Doom Train.
If you do not... extreme wrestlers like Brewer, you will lose.
Yeah, well, everyone not named Brewer lost on Sunday. But we did touch upon Dylan Black and his performance in the riot. Of course, he was the second runner-up last Sunday, did not get the job done. He would go on Tuesday and blame that on the appearance of this phony, I guess, Crimson Dragon. I really don't know what to make of this. We saw Mike Leo in the ring, and then Crimson Dragon entered the riot. Now, we know Mike Leo was Crimson Dragon. That's how he made his start here in the GWA. In fact, he won all five titles. He's the only wrestler to win all five titles, and he won a number of those as Crimson Dragon. Now, who is the Crimson Dragon that we have been seeing? Dylan Black says this is what threw him off his game, and this is why he was distracted and he didn't get the job done, I guess, and that led the way for Brewer to low blow him and throw him out the ring. These two, Dylan Black and Crimson Dragon, whoever is wearing the mask at least, almost came to blows on Tuesday night Spotlight, but Black is saying that if it happens, it'll be under his terms. What do you make of all this, Doom Train?
See, Dylan Black is blaming everybody but himself. He let his guard down, so he had to have somebody to blame for it. Crimson Dragon. He's an imposter. Obviously, we all know this. I have a hunch who I think it may be, but that's for another date.
Okay.
See, Dylan Black needs to look in the mirror and blame Dylan Black for his mistakes.
Well, Dylan Black says he knows the identity of the phony Crimson. I would love to know who it is. I mean, this guy made it all the way to the end at the riot.
Obviously, it has somebody that, which I think, has experience.
I think so, too.
I believe it could be everybody's favorite nerd. That's all I'm saying.
That remains to be seen. Certainly we'll be following this story. I also wanted to touch upon your brother here, Doom Train. Your brother is the killer, and he was suspended indefinitely because he attacked Sue Rogers at the riot. Sue Rogers was announced in the number 10 spot, and the killer would attack him before he can get to the ring and then take his place. And we didn't know if that was allowed or not, but I guess who was going to stop the killer? Well, on Tuesday, it was the front office who announced they would stop the killer by indefinitely suspending him for doing this, Sue himself suffering a broken orbital bone. Have you spoken to your brother about this at all?
See, my brother did the right thing, I believe. The front office decided to try to keep him out of the riot because they were scared he would win it. See, so he took his spot. I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, the killer was left out of the riot, or at least he was supposed to be, and there was some confusion going on there. We had heard rumors that he was not going to continue in the GWA after things really weren't going his way as of late, but apparently he wanted to make his return and did so by taking matters into his own hands. Now, I don't know if or when we'll see the killer again, or Sue Rogers for that matter, but that's another situation I guess we'll have to follow here as time goes on. More big news this week, though, Doom Train, the international title declared vacant and the front office announcing a scheme to fill that championship, crown a new champion. And we've got ourselves a six-man tag team match scheduled for next week. And these two teams will be randomly selected based upon six wrestlers who qualify for the bout. And in order to qualify, you have to win a singles match to get there. And so far, we, in fact, have three wrestlers who have done so and qualified. Champions are not eligible, so you, Doom Train, cannot compete for the international title. But three others so far have advanced to the six-man match. And we've got Armageddon, Max Rex, and Dylan Black, we know. Now, we don't know if Armageddon and Max Rex will be on the same team for that matter, because these teams will be randomly selected, like we said. But both of them moving on, we have three spots to fill. Anybody can get them again. Not champions, but, you know, wrestlers who lost this past Tuesday could try again on Sunday. But we need three more wrestlers to make it to the six-man. We've got half of the field set already. Armageddon, Max Rex, and Black. And by the way, what about Max Rex defeating Mike Leo in 3 minutes? What a return. You know this guy main evented Revelation a few seasons ago. You know that he's got what it takes. But I think, Doom Train, that Max Rex looks better than ever, and bigger than ever. What would you make of Max Rex's return this past Tuesday?
I think it was epic. He came and conquered, and that's what he did. But see, Max Rex, if you're listening, get a couple more wins, and you and I will meet. It may be for my title. It may be for a chance at my title. See when you win those matches.
Of the three who qualified, who would you like the best, Armageddon, Dylan Black, or Max Rex?
I'd have to give it with Black. Black has a lot more going for him at the moment. I'd have to say it would be Black. Max Rex, he's a close second just because look at the guy. He reminds me of me, a younger me. He's hungry. He had a crappy season a few seasons ago. He took some time off and boom, come back swinging. That's what you need to do. He found himself. Keep it up, kid. I got my eye on you.
Okay. You know, with Max Rex and Armageddon in this, they are the reformed American Motorcycle Club. A lot of people looking to see them back in tag team action. But, you know, I guess we'll have to see, knowing that they qualify for the six-man. Again, we don't know which side of the fence they're going to be on. So if they draw the same team, I think that bodes well for them. But I think there's a good chance, because of the chemistry that they have, that you'll see Armageddon and Max Rex and whoever becomes the third person on their team advance to the triangle match, because that's what's going to decide ultimately the international title. The winner of the six-man tag team match, will all three winners have to face each other in a triangle match, and the winner of that becomes the international champion. So you might have Max Rex versus Armageddon versus their partner for the international title. If they're on the opposite sides of the team, of the fence on the six-man, then that might, you know, could be interesting as well, see how that ends up playing out. Of course, this Sunday on Showcase, we'll be looking to fill three more spots to see what the six-man tag ends up becoming. Certainly anything can happen. But as I mentioned, Armageddon and Max Rex, now the reformed American Motorcycle Club, a lot of hype around them. We also found out that Faith would be making her return this season, teaming with Brewer. And in fact, on social media during the season break, we confirmed that the World Tag Team Champions, the Dangerous Brothers, have agreed to meet Elegantly Hated, Brewer and Faith, for those World Tag Team titles sometime in the near future. So it seems like some new energy has been injected into our tag team division.
Yes, but Brewer needs to heal up a little bit. You know, he just came down from a great loss. So I think he's going to be down and out for a little bit. If he comes swinging on Sunday, I'll be surprised. But I doubt that he'll be there Sunday. He's going to be licking those wounds a little bit, just like I am. But I'll be there, and I'm looking for a fight.
Okay. Okay. So do you think that the combination of Faith and Brewer have a shot at taking down the Dangerous Brothers, or you think due to recent developments that they have a disadvantage at this point?
At this point, I'd have to say disadvantages. Mm-hmm. Just because Brewer fell just a little short of what he wanted to accomplish this season due to my hands.
Right. Well, we'll get to that in a few minutes here, Doom Train. Certainly a big story, perhaps the biggest story of the week. But I want to make sure that we're covering all our bases here. I want to mention some of these newcomers. You know, I touched upon it earlier, but we have El Milagro, who we saw this past Tuesday. Of course, El Tigre was in the riot. We saw Scotty Styles, the rookie, in the riot. We also have El Gringo Loco, I believe, who'll be making his debut shortly. It seems like some of the lighter, perhaps even luchador wrestlers will be making their way here in the GWA. Do you have any insight into this Doom Train or anything you're looking forward to seeing out of our newcomers?
I actually have my eye on one newcomer, and that's that Scotty guy.
Scotty Styles.
Showtime.
He has an impressive performance in the riot, yeah.
I believe he has what it takes to become something in this business. I had my eye on him during the riot, and he did pretty well. He showed Hall. He showed that he can make it here in the company. And that's coming from a Hall of Famer kid, so take it up with a grain, you know, be proud of what you accomplished at the riot. Don't keep your head up. You have to do in this business.
Yeah, I agree. And we, you know, over the years, Doom Train, you and I have both seen wrestlers make their debuts or really make their mark in the riot, you yourself being one of them. And look how far you've come, of course, in the GWA subsequent to that. So Scotty Styles definitely has that potential. I think we all saw it, and we were all impressed with what he was able to do this past Sunday at the riot. We'll see how he follows it up. And, of course, singles competition is much different. But I think he does have what it takes, and you know, he could be our Rookie of the Year when it's all said and done. We'll see where it goes.
I hope he does, because
yeah, go ahead.
Because he shows heart. Kind of reminds me, you know, of somebody that went toe-to-toe with the Oxade when I first debuted. But I believe he could make it in this business, and I hope he makes that Rookie of the Year.
Well, Doom Train, we mentioned you really making your mark in the riot in the ring. Brewer doing the same. Two legendary Hall of Fame careers jump-started at the riot. But you are also no stranger to the Thunderdome pay-per-view. And we learned that Thunderdome, so much happened this week, but this week we also learned Thunderdome would be making its return on Sunday, May 27th. So we're under 6 weeks away now, really close to the 5 weeks. To this epic event. It can only happen once per year. It's only allowed to happen once per year because the Thunderdome match is so dangerous. Doom Train, I know you competed in a chair match your first season at the Thunderdome pay-per-view. You've had a lot of memorable moments at this event. What does Thunderdome mean to you, and how dangerous is that match?
It's a dangerous match. The structures are so hellacious that if you're in that match, which I hope I am this time, I like to wreak havoc. But this match is epic. Glad it's only one time a year because, man, we'll have bodies injured all over the place if it wasn't.
Yeah. No, there have been careers that have been ended and shortened as a result of the Thunderdome. I mean, you can look back last year, Jack Sabin, who fell off the platform. There's a 15, for those who don't know, it's a steel cage, and there's a platform suspended at least 15 feet above the ring, and wrestlers are able to climb up to this platform. You can imagine how injured and how hurt they are already being in this 4-on-4 match inside of a cage. They're getting thrown around everywhere. They're getting beaten up and bruised and bloodied. Sometimes they climb up to that platform to escape momentarily. Sometimes they actually try to jump off of it onto other wrestlers. Sometimes they jump, they climb up, and they get thrown off of the platform. And Jack Saban, as one example, ended up coming off that platform 10 times last year, and his career is done. Right? You don't hear the name Jack Saban anymore. That's like a footnote. That's a trivia question now in the GWA because he fell off that platform. I mean, we could look at Faith, way back in season 20, suffered a nasty spill off of that platform. If memory serves me correctly, she went for the reach out and touch Faith, the shooting star press, off of the platform, and she missed. And that really did a number on her career. In fact, we're seeing her make her return now, finally in season 28. But, between then and now, I think she spent a lot of that time nursing her injury and trying to get back to top form. So this can really have an effect on people's careers. And what about the moments we've seen at Thunderdome? Back at season 22, when you had the masked wrestler named C winning with Dexter Point and CJ Boucher before this wrestler C would throw Dexter Point off of the platform at the end of the match and unmask, revealing himself to be Anthony Caffrey, a previous foe of Dexter, and that would certainly reignite their rivalry. I mean, so much history. The winners of Thunderdome listed on the Hall of Fame page. Everyone can go check it out now, and it's an illustrious list. Doom Train, you mentioned wanting to get into the match, and I can understand why, because of the prestige. I mean, if you're trying to set your legacy here, and you already have a legendary career, but if you want to kind of check all the boxes, that's something that you have yet to do. You haven't won a Thunderdome match, and not many people have won it more than once. I mean, I see Dexter Point from seasons 22 and 24, that's a repeat winner. Brewer, 24 and 26, and that might be where the list stops. So a great opportunity if you can survive it, and who knows who will end up being in the match. Who knows what the teams will be, how that will look, but history will be written in a little over 5 weeks' time.
See, I've done many, many things in this company. I've never been inside that cage. My brother started his career in that cage.
Right.
But me, I've never entered the cage. I've had matches at the pay-per-view, like a chair match versus the Hall of Famer Rockshade.
Yeah.
But I've never been inside that cage. Now, if I want to do everything in this business, I gotta get myself inside that cage.
I agree.
So I agree.
I think that's a great way to say that you've done it all. And I'll also add Mike Leo to the list of repeat Thunderdome winners, seasons 24 and 26. But that's it. So, you know, you're speaking about this as someone who's never been inside the cage, and maybe that's why you're so eager to be in it. If we were to ask someone like Mike Leo, like Dexter Point, like Brewer, who have not only been in it but won twice, they might have a slightly different perspective because they know, they've felt how dangerous this match is.
See, I can one up. If the front office is willing to do this, I'll put my title on the line at Thunderdome.
Wow.
For the one that can pin me.
That would certainly be interesting.
That's never been done before.
Here. Back in season 18, when this concept returned, and this was one that actually started way back in the 90s, in the first inception of the GWA. We're going back many, many years here. But after the GWA came back to the air, Thunderdome was brought back, and in season 18, the wrestler to score the winning or deciding pinfall, because it is an elimination match, but the deciding pinfall earned a shot at the GWA world title. And it was Martin Ciano who actually did that back in season 18. And that added an interesting dynamic to the match because you didn't know if teammates would turn on each other to score that deciding pinfall.
Exactly. So if I would have to get pinned in this match since I am the champion. Front office book it, I guarantee you I'll walk away champion again.
Wow. I mean, that's ballsy. What can I say? That's ballsy. But, you know, let's now talk about the big story of the week, which is you, Doom Train, surviving, right?
Coaches me.
You had a great match with Donna Rose, and in fact, she injured you and almost beat you. You were moments away from losing the match when you managed to escape the submission that she had you in, hit the train wreck, and pin her, but not before being injured pretty badly. And that's when we would see Brewer, just 2 days after he won the contract, rush to the ring to use the around-the-clock contract. At first, maybe playing some mind game, saying, well, not tonight. You were inviting him to the ring, taunting him. And then he did end up using the contract, and he took it to you. He hit you with the malicious big boot into the steps outside the ring. He busted you open. You were not looking good at all. I think he made one mistake in this match, though, and that was going for some kind of roll-up pinning combination early to see if he could beat you without really hitting you as hard as he could, in my opinion, right from the outset. And maybe that slight hesitation cost him because you would end up applying a sleeper hold and knocking him out to retain the title. So you ended up winning two matches. And these were the first two matches, by the way, of Spotlight, the first two singles matches of the season. Never seen that before. But this is also, by the way, I don't know if you know this, you probably do, this is a throwback, if you will, to the first time the around-the-clock contract was ever used back in season 18 when Idol Austin attempted on Rockshade after Rockshade had been in a tough title match and Rockshade used a sleeper hold to retain. We also saw a variation of this last season, I believe. So it's happened a good three times here, but you surviving with the world champion, the round-the-clock contract, no longer in play. How does that feel?
It feels amazing. I told everybody on GWA Online, beware of the monster. Guess what? I wasn't playing around when I said I am the best there is that GWA has to offer. Donna Rose, she brought it to me. I underestimated her. I should have ended her a long time ago. But I was playing with her. I wanted to see what that chick had. She brought it to me. She ended up choking me. She almost choked the life out of me.
Right.
Injuring me.
Let me ask you this, though.
Then,
did that inspire you, almost being choked out, did that inspire you to choke out Brewer? Was it like a moment where you said, this Donna Rose here almost put me down. Wait a minute, I can use the same technique.
Actually, it did not, just because I knew if Brewer was going to come down that ramp, because I was taunting him all night. Everybody's seen it.
After he won the contract.
I wanted him to use it right away so I did not have to worry about it.
Right.
He
takes a big chip off your shoulder.
He took the bait. He took my bait. He came in. Even I used the ropes to climb, put myself up, and I invited him in the ring. Everybody probably thought I was nuts, but I was telling him, come on, let's go. I was the one inviting him in. I knew I couldn't do it. Hell, in the match, when I was getting my ass beat, I had doubt. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to pull a sleeper out of my ass somehow. Lock him in it and don't let go.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And he went nighty-night. And
yeah, I mean, you were obviously fatigued and injured and in a very bad state, but you know what? A sleeper can end a match just like that. It doesn't matter how fresh you are, you know, what kind of advantage someone has over someone else in terms of their energy going into a match. You know, a sleeper will deprive your energy in a matter of seconds, and that's what we saw. Perhaps the best strategy when you're in a scenario like that. I mean, it might have been your only hope, shy of getting yourself disqualified or something, but the around-the-clock contract, again, not used successfully. Maybe people overestimate its value. They think it's going to be an automatic championship, not realizing they can get caught. And I think that's what happened. We were perhaps making a rare mistake, uncharacteristic for him, but you were able to capitalize on the moment, outsmart him, I guess, is a way of looking at it. Outmaneuvering
that's
him.
That's what I do.
In any event, you have survived as the world champion, and what a season we have in store. Can anyone stop the monster, and who the hell will advance to the international title six-man? We've got a lot of questions. yet to be answered. But we want to thank everybody for tuning into Uncut this week. I have been Magic Ref Mark Green, as I remain to be, and we've been joined, of course, by Doom Train. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you in the ring.